If you're just joining us, it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're going to talk athletes and politics. Athletes realize that stepping into the activist role often means putting their career at risk. But think of all those who've done it, from the raised fists of John Carlos and Tommy Smith in 1968 to contemporary athletes like Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the national anthems. How do you feel about athletes sharing their political views? Will you watch for activism on Super Bowl Sunday? Join in right now, 800-642-1234. But first, search and rescue operations are crucial when someone goes missing. Often these operations are led entirely by volunteers. They do vital work searching for evidence of a missing person and at times recovering human remains. But the training for volunteers and the rules they operate under vary a lot from state to state. Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisConText, and he's been reporting on this, and he talked with WPR host Keely Baltina.
Who makes up these search and rescue teams, and what are they deployed to do?
Yeah, there are a few counties in the state that have in-house professionalized search and rescue teams, but only a few of them. The vast majority of communities in the state, the search and rescue teams are volunteer-based. So it's volunteer organizers and volunteers who are out doing the search and rescues.
And what are they often searching for?
Anything from a missing person, whether it's someone who got lost in the woods, like a hiker or a camper, or sometimes a senior citizen, maybe with dementia or something, might wander away from a group home or something like that. But they also will search for possible human remains, dead bodies, if there's an idea that there might be one perhaps in like a lake or the woods or something like that.
So there's quite a range. We saw this, I think, most high profile in, recently with the kidnapping of Jamie Kloss and when people came out in full force to try to search for her. Where did we see the volunteers playing into that investigation?
Yeah, volunteers participated in that investigation in a couple ways. First, there was the pretty public search in the days after Jamie Kloss's disappearance, where the sheriff's department asked for 100 volunteers or so to help scour the local fields and ditches, collect potential evidence. That's a pretty typical response to a missing person case like that. That's pretty high profile. But less public was a request from the sheriff's department for volunteer search and rescue canine handlers. And several canine handlers did answer that call from neighboring counties, and they participated in a little bit quieter way, searching the vicinity around the Kloss home for potential evidence with the use of these scent tracking dogs that are really, really useful. And they did so under the guidance of law enforcement.
And I think I often assume that we're looking for people, but hitting on the fact that they're also looking for any shred of evidence that they can find is really key for these volunteers.
Totally. Yep.
You spoke with some of them. What did they have to say about why they do this? Because they don't get paid.
Not only do they not get paid, but they spend an awful lot of money sometimes on training, particularly for volunteer canine handlers. They have to spend thousands of dollars on training, hundreds of hours training their dogs and themselves. But really, it's a passion of a lot of these volunteers. It's kind of like a hobby turned passion. A lot of people get into it because they're interested in wilderness survival or tracking techniques or wilderness navigation, what have you, and then get kind of sucked into the world of search and rescue.
And realize that they can make a difference, that they can help.
Exactly. They can provide a public service.
Sounds like different states have different levels of regulation when it comes to these volunteer search and rescue teams. We've got a couple of ends of the spectrum and then some folks in the middle there. Let's start with California, which regulates search and rescue operations pretty heavily.
They do, which I think a lot of people may not be surprised about that. California has a lot of regulations around a whole bunch of things,
right,
including search and rescue. And part of the reason for that in California is because search and rescue volunteers are dealing often with much more intense terrain than we find here in the Midwest, really mountainous and remote regions. So there's more requirements around training for search and rescue volunteers, and there are more protections for those volunteers, financial protections in the case that they get injured or die on a search.
Unsurprisingly, I think, if we assume that California fits into our understanding that it's more highly regulated, we see a lot less regulation in a place like Texas.
Yes. Again, kind of living up to stereotypes. In Texas. And so I got this information from the executive director of a national association for search and rescue volunteers. And he's actually based in Texas, so he has some local insight. In Texas, they do live up to their kind of like Wild West reputation. He said there's really no regulation. Search and rescue teams don't have to follow any particular training. They don't have to be affiliated with a sheriff's department, as they do in many states. They can ask for money. He said that this leads to kind of like competing teams in local areas. He said there are several competing teams in the Houston area, and sometimes they'll work just directly with families rather than the sheriff's department, so it can be really unorganized, and sometimes they'll then demand money.
Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisContext, and we're talking about his latest two pieces that look at search and rescue operations. Okay, now we know where Texas stands. We know where California stands. Where does Wisconsin land?
Wisconsin is pretty much in the middle, like a lot of states. So there are a few rules around volunteer search and rescue teams. They do have to be affiliated with the sheriff's department. There is protocol for how sheriffs can activate search and rescue team or ask for neighboring counties to provide their services through mutual aid. And also search and rescue. There's no specific training that's required by the state, but search and rescue teams do require, in Wisconsin, do require their own trainings, which are really quite rigorous.
So there's an amount of self-policing that happens within these volunteer organizations or these groups of people that may want to respond when they're asked.
Correct. But in Wisconsin, there aren't the financial protections for search and rescue volunteers as there are in California.
So there's a circumstance where you're dealing in dangerous circumstances, or it's night, or you trip and fall, or you get hurt. You're responsible for that because you're volunteering.
Yeah, you have to hope that your own health insurance will cover that. There's no entitlement to workers' compensation or death benefits for search and rescue volunteers, which is different from other kind of emergency response volunteers in the state. So volunteer firefighters, EMTs are entitled to those workers' comp and death benefits.
Mm, but not search and rescue.
Right.
Where in the state have we really professionalized or standardized those search and rescue operations?
It really just depends on maybe there's a really passionate organizer in some area, and that really is the case with the folks I spoke to. Sawyer County in northern Wisconsin really has a really quite professionalized crew of over 30 volunteers at any given time. And part of that is just because of the people up there who have been involved in search and rescue for decades, including county staff there who work on emergency management issues. And there are other groups like that around the state that are really quite professionalized. A lot of times they're also affiliated with canine tracking capabilities. They just have to be a little bit more trained, and a lot of those kind of are on the state lines. So there's a group that does searches in Wisconsin, Minnesota, kind of in western Wisconsin, and then another group near the border with Illinois, and another group near the border with the UP.
Do we know what role state agencies play in search and rescue?
Really, search and rescue is a largely local endeavor. The state will get involved, like Wisconsin Emergency Management will get involved if there's a request for aerial support. Usually that aerial support is more for like situational awareness to help provide the search and rescue volunteers on the ground with information that they might not be able to glean from being on the ground. But that's largely where the state comes in.
Do we know how successful search and rescue operations in Wisconsin are?
We don't, which is another issue that the gentleman I spoke to from the national organization said. Like, it's quite an issue when there's no tracking or recording mechanism across the state. So you don't know how successful the searches are. You don't know if they're are maybe issues that could be addressed from like kind of like systemic issues related to like is there like a certain demographic or like a certain area where people go missing or what have you. There are all sorts of potentially important and useful information that the state is just not gathering. And that does occur in some places like California.
Okay. So, but potentially an area that Wisconsin could improve.
Yes, exactly.
Will, this has been really enlightening. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And that was Will Cushman, the associate editor of WisConText, who spoke earlier this week with WPR host Keely Baltina. Find more of Will's reporting. It is at wisconText.org. Coming up, professional athletes who take up social justice issues, they may put their careers in jeopardy for taking a stance. Ahead of the Super Bowl, do you think sports leagues should censor athletes or coaches or team managers? Or should they be allowed to say what they want? Phone lines are open, 800-642-1234. Let's talk about the politics, the sports, and hear your thoughts right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.